you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to Psalms 32, verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. That's a delightful verse, isn't it? Psalms 32:11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. It just came out of my spirit a few hours ago in speaking to one of our church members, and it just came out of my heart, and I suppose it was because they needed it. But I spoke this word, and I couldn't get away from it since that moment. Your shout is your way out. Your shout is your way out. Some 65 times shouting in one form or another is used through the Old and the New Testaments. Your shout is your way out. You see, a shout is a strong verbal affirmation of what a person believes or feels. I hit my thumb with a hammer, and I don't know who said it first, but I'd probably say it again. Ouch! It hurt. I did something the other day, and I said, ouch, and I wondered who in the world first said ouch. But a shout is a strong verbal affirmation of what a person believes or feels. A shout can be positive or negative. People say a lot of negative things. A shout can be positive or negative. There seems to be no neutral, quiet way to shout. I'm so thankful for the experience of being able to observe multitudes of golfers from my back door. To see a 300-pound man on his all fours on the green saying, please, baby. Please, baby. Please, baby. And a few other things that we will leave behind. Unmentionable. Get down. All the things that are said to a golf ball. And yet if you would say, would you just speak the word of God? You're not getting me in that confession thing. You'll talk to golf balls. You'll talk to motorcycles. You'll talk to trees. Your car has a flat and you'll kick the car and say, you dumb thing, you're the one that ran over the nail. The tire didn't run over the nail. You're the one that was driving it. You see, a shout can be a positive or a negative. I mean, people shout negative things when their team doesn't win. Or if you make a bad drive on the freeway or whatever it may be. But you see, there's all kind of shouting, and really crying out is very close akin to what we would call a shout, that someone cried out. You'll see very often in the Word of God that somebody cried out. So a shout is a strong verbal affirmation. And as we go over to Joshua, the 6th chapter, as many times as I've preached in and around the 6th chapter of Joshua, if you'd let me just read, hopefully not too quick, but let's read a few verses there. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Why do you think the devil's got things so tight around your place? Because you're getting close to breakthrough. Because you're getting through to break out, getting close to break out. Why did Satan have the city of Jericho literally locked in, locked down? I mean, there was not a space big enough for a human being to go through that wall that was not closed up. The gates were closed. No one was going in. No one was coming out. And it was because of the children of Israel. If we could just see how much the enemy is really running scared during these days. Reading further. Joshua chapter 6, verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Not much left. God said, I've given you the territory, the city. I've given you the king who is the symbol of authority. I've given you the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall you do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day you shall compass the city seven times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. Isn't that exciting? But going further, let's go down to verse 9. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua, notice this, that this is very important. Joshua had commanded the people. You know, we're in a day when you don't command anybody to do anything. You suggest. Even in crowd management, you lower your voice. And you become as low-key as you can. You don't want to stir up the crazies. It's the way you handle a situation, no matter how crazy it may be. And folks, as we look in the Word of God, Joshua commanded at least, could it be a million? At least, 1.5 million, 2 million people. I mean, this is mind-blowing after having pastored for so many years. That one man could command the people saying, do not shout, nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then you shout. Now that would sound like a very domineering, dictatorial, somebody that tries to run people's life, except God knows what he's doing. And so, miracle of miracles, for 6 days, they just walked around the wall. I imagine they were selling tickets at the 7-Eleven to watch these strange people go around the wall one more time, do the same thing, didn't say anything, didn't do anything. Everybody's listening to the word. That's a miracle. Bless God, ain't no preacher going to tell me what to do. Well, probably God Almighty ain't going to tell you what to do, but you wish you had. There is a time when you need someone, when I need someone. Thank God there have been times when somebody spoke into my life and said, do this or don't do this, and you'll profit or you'll not profit. There's times that God puts authority in our life to talk to us and help us. And I'm about to get to the place to where we need to be a lot more serious about any move we make in our life, whether it's a job move, a career change. Don't quit your day job, honey, when you don't have one at all. Just hold steady and let God lead and guide you. A bad job's better than no job. And you're going to put up with some stuff anywhere you work. I don't like for you to have to put up with stuff. None of us like to put up with stuff, but I mean, life is putting up with some stuff, no matter where you work. Wherever you run, you'll be there. And God's speaking to us. Sometimes you don't have a choice. And God does better us, and God does move us around. And, you know, God does those things. But I think too quickly, we just do things and don't even really weigh it out or think it out or really get wisdom and advice. 6 days, they walk around the wall. Now, came to pass on the seventh day, verse 15. I'm still in the sixth chapter of Joshua, chapter 15. Came to pass on the seventh day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times, remember. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest, according to God's commandment, blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Now it makes sense, doesn't it? Doesn't make sense while you're walking around that wall. Do something. Do something. Doesn't make sense while you're walking around that wall. I'm a mighty man of valor. I'm an army man. I know what to do. Why don't we do something? Because God said, just walk and keep your mouth shut. Just walk and be silent. Even a fish wouldn't get caught if he kept his mouth shut. Okay, you can catch him with a net, but the average fish would not get caught if he kept his mouth shut. Peter said, I don't care how good that worm looks. Not me. No way. I'm just going to swim on by. Just do what God made me to do. Just enjoy the water. Just swim on by. Now, look at the word of God that is before us today. Here's an impossible situation. Bob Nichols, you find more impossible situations. Yeah, that's where I live, on the edge. You talk too much about faith, but not where I live, you don't. Not where I live, you don't. I need every ounce of faith I preach and teach, and the word of God preaches and teaches, and it works. Here's an impossible situation. Jericho is completely shut up. Why? Because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. Say with me, nothing. You remember when Jesus said, have you caught anything? And for one time, a fisherman had to tell the truth. He didn't go by the fish market. He said, nothing. 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 No one was going out, no one was coming in. The door is closed and locked tight. Every possible entry to Jericho is sealed shut. Now what do you do, Pastor? With all that you teach and preach, now everything in my life is locked down and shut tight. You know, I'm going to say it until maybe I know it or you know it better than I know it. When you do everything that you know to do, you pull everything you know to pull. Your special friend that can get anything done can't do anything on this project. It may be that God has a better idea. And as one of our businessmen said so wisely, if you don't pray going in, I promise you, you'll pray to get out. One way or another, you're going to pray. I just think you'd laugh if I drove. They've remodeled it and kind of dressed up. But I mean, if I drove you by the first little piece of property that I thought our church should years ago. I mean, you know, you're young, you're idealistic, you know, you're not really thinking everything through, no matter how loud God's screaming sometimes. And I mean, God slammed that door so shut, and I've been thankful ever since then. I mean, post office looked like Taj Mahal compared to where we could have been. On that occasion. See, God knows what to do. And then God put us in a location where it worked powerfully for the period of time we were supposed to be there. And then God gave us another location. Now God's given us our third location since 1964. And you know, you look in your life and things, you think, well, everybody else is getting this and everyone else is doing that and everyone else is, you know, we get in this comparison game. You know, honey, I'm just thinking, I don't think I've ever said this publicly, but I'm so glad. I'm glad that my wife's name wasn't Nancy or Patsy. I'm glad God saved the best for me, that her name is Joy. I was just thinking this week how glad I am that God gave me Joy. He knew I'd need a lot of joy in the ministry. Now, Nancy was a nice girl, came from a very wealthy family, but she's not as wealthy as this girl is, I tell you. Impossible situation. You know the key to every locked door that needs to be opened? God has it. I've learned something. You know, you can put the wrong key in the wrong lock. And nowadays things are quite sophisticated. But I used to have a car. You could put a Dodge key in it. You could put a Chevrolet key in it. You could put a Ford key in it. And that thing would work. Really would. I mean, that ignition was so loose. I think we put a hairpin in it once, and it that turned it. I don't staple one. But you know, I was just thinking about God's keys. You know, if you try to make the wrong key work in the wrong lock, you'll mess up the key and you'll mess up the lock. And there's the odd time it might work. But you mess up the key and you mess up the lock. And folks, we don't need any more bright ideas. We need God ideas. I need God's direction in my life. You need God's direction in your life. And I was just thinking, the key to every locked door that needs to be opened. You know, if you're afraid to pray the will of God about something, sometimes people call the power tower and they want you to pray exactly what they want you to pray. And we instruct our people in the power tower, if we can't pray the will of God about it, don't waste our time. We don't need what we want. We've had people call and tell our people what to pray. And they were wise enough to say, Father, we believe for your will. You know, I've lived long enough. I'm not afraid of the will of God. I'm afraid of my will, but I'm not afraid of the will of God. I am not afraid of the will of God. Because God will plan better for me than I could plan for myself. I mean, there's things, just for, if our insurance had settled quicker, there would have been a complete change of venue, the whole thing. I just think of time after time after time when we thought we had it right where it should be, but God had a better idea. Oh, folks, listen to me today. I'm talking to you out of a pastor's heart. You see, the city was shut up. And we could have said, well, after I've served God and after we've given and after we've sown all this seed and this city shut up. You know why the city shut up? Because Satan's running scared and God's going to give them a lesson in faith that they should never forget. Should never forget. You see, the key to this situation, and the Lord said. Did you notice that? And the Lord said, Joshua chapter 6 verse 2. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. After the storm, I would have never in a million years, because there was just too much going on, have dreamed that God would have put us where we are, how we are, and located us as we are. Really? You say, well, you should have been able to have seen, but maybe so. Maybe so. But there was just too much going on. But you see, step by step, God walked us through. And God is walking us through. And we're still walking through. Praise God. And we're coming through. And the Lord said, see. Oh, it comes back to this. Seems like we've all been taking a shot at this. What do you see? Failure, gloom, doom, misery. Everybody in our families. What do you see? What do you see? Break the mold. Step out. Be different. Don't be like four generations behind you. Break the mold. Through the help of God. See, you can see it, you can have it. Remember, we preached on that a few Sundays ago. I have given into your hand. I have given into your hand. You see, if I got to fight for it and all that, then my knuckles are bloody and I still may not get there. But God said, just hold your hand out. I've given into your hand. Huh? I've given into your hand. What? The best. What is best for you? See, I've given into your hand Jericho, the king, the mighty men of valor. But God had a plan of faith and obedience as a key to the impossible. A prayer line doesn't solve everything in your life. One message doesn't solve everything in your life. And as I looked, all the men of war with the priests going before. I mean, isn't this crazy? With all you've got going on in your life, in the hot weather, and you come out and you sit down and open a Bible, and you could go to a lot of places where you could get it done in 30 minutes or 45 minutes. And maybe that would work, maybe not. But I mean, here you are for a little while. We've sung, we've given, we've prayed, we've done all we've doing. And now you're listening to somebody talk to you and tell you about life as I see it through the Word of God. See, that's faith. You know why you're here today? The majority of you are here because of your faith that something's going to be said that's going to affect your life. If you didn't think there was any value whatsoever in coming today, there's other things you could be doing and other places you could be. All the men of war, with the priests going before, marching around a wall doing nothing for 6 days, once a day, around that wall and around that wall. Marching around Jericho once a day, 6 days. And to add to it all, the man of God says, don't say a word. I'm learning so much more about this. I watched a little situation on something here a month ago. Somebody said something that went around the world and surprised the people that had said it. You know, we live in a day, one word can be around the world before you know it. And your number's right at the bottom of the page. They'll know who said it. And I really believe the truth here, there's a time to speak, there's a time to be silent. Would you let me do a little pastoring? Don't talk your personal business in the marketplace. All you have to say is, I'm blessed. Or I got blessed. Or I'm being blessed. Don't tell your business to everybody in the marketplace. If God blesses you with something, that's between you and God. It's no one else's business. You dress better, they'll know something's going better for you. You drive better, they'll be suspicious something's going in your direction. You see, there are outward trappings that something's going on that's positive. But how many times is God in the process of a miracle in motion and we just talk it away? It's like the gentle dove. The Holy Spirit comes where invited and stays where welcome. There's a time just not to speak. There's a time not to say what you know. You couldn't believe. It seems like the millions of pieces of information that come to me over a given period of time. And I've just learned it's so wise just to be quiet and don't talk. Just don't talk. Because whatever you tell will be told. That's a new one-liner. Whatever you tell will be told. Now, so we do nothing. Oh, that's hard on the flesh. Man. I've come to church so many times. I've given so many seed offerings. I've done so much. I just want to tell my best friend, this is not working. It's like one precious man of faith. He said, I never wanted to make a bad confession so much in all of my life, but I'd taught enough that I knew the consequences of it. Don't say anything. Why? Because you can talk away your blessing. You can show your hand. The devil doesn't know everything. You tell him 90% of what he knows. He doesn't know everything. God does, but the devil doesn't. Just be quiet and keep him guessing. It'll drive him crazy. I know they're up to something. I know they're Well, I'll go talk to their best friend. What about so? I don't know. They're not saying anything. Oh. Just give him something to worry about for a change. What's that church up to now? What's that preacher up to now? What are these people up to now? So they walk around the walls. Now, on the seventh day, didn't say a word. On the seventh day, they shout. Just like they were supposed to shout for the Lord hath given you the city. Even though God's given you something, there's time not to shout about it. Remember, your shout is your way out. Your shout is your way out. You see, your shout is your way out because it's your faith shout. And oh, I heard this so strongly in my spirit, and I can't get away from it. Didn't realize that God would just unfold a message when he said, your shout is your way out. And I've been able to share that with one or two other folks. And they said, oh, that's a word from God. Now, Oh, there's all kinds of shouts. Remember, a shout is just that loud affirmation. But there's a shout of salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There will be a man in this congregation, and I believe it will not be long. He's out of the hospital and has enough health and strength to be here. That we were able to make a visit. The man should be dead, but his mother prayed for him. She's gone on to heaven. The family's has prayed for his salvation. The doctors marveled. Hadn't been to a doctor in years. Didn't know that he had sugar diabetes. Didn't know that gangrene had set up in his body. Strong, healthy, construction-looking kind of a guy. And the doctors, quote, caught it just in time. Well, after the 24-hour period, he's still alive. And then we went and made a visit there. And as I was talking to him, I said, "Do you know the Lord? Do you know Jesus?" He said, "I hope so." Well, that was my first clue. "Do you know Jesus?" And I said, "Would you pray a prayer of rededication with me?" He said, "I don't know how," had my second clue. And I said, "I tell you what, if I'd pray the prayer, would you just pray it from your heart?" He said, "I'll do it." And right there in that very, very intensive here, I mean, you have to scrub to go in and all the life hanging by the thread sometimes. We prayed the sinner's prayer. Tears come down his cheeks. And you say, "Why did you tell us that story?" Well, you say, "How do you know anything happened?" Because he's telling every member of his family. You know, I prayed with that pastor in that church. I prayed and asked Jesus into my heart. Now, when they're telling somebody, they're confessing outwardly what's in their heart. See? You never know who you're going to see for the last time. You don't know. I don't know. And any salesperson will know you can give your biggest sales pitch, but if you don't close the deal, it's not a deal. You got to sign on the dotted line. You got to close the deal if it's going to be a deal. And folks, whenever God opens a door, oh, let's go through every door that God gives us. You never know when you're talking to someone for the last time. You never know that you may be the last witness that will ever speak into a person's life. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Isn't it wonderful? Oh, I tell you, friend, there's not going to be a Catholic door to heaven and a charismatic door to heaven, a Church of Christ and a Baptist and a Presbyterian and a Lutheran and, you know, on and on. Oh, there's one door and its name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Oh, there's another shout among many other shouts that I could bring to your attention. It's the shout that brings a healing miracle in Matthew the 15th chapter, verses 30 through 34. Two blind men out by the roadside where they've been for years. They hear a parade, sounds like, coming by, all the noise that goes with a group of people. Sounds like a football game or a baseball game or a hockey game. Just all this noise. Everybody's crying out for something. And they said, "Who's coming by?" And somebody said, "Jesus." And, "Oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy, have mercy." And the cry of two blind men was louder than the cry of the whole multitude. And everybody tried to say, "Blind men, be quiet, hush. He doesn't care about you. You're nothings. You're on the roadside." But they refused to be quiet. And I'm telling you, there's a prayer that'll stop Jesus in his sandals. I mean, there's a prayer that'll lock the brakes of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I mean, all of a sudden, Jesus stopped and he could go no further. Why? Because the cry of two men was ringing in his ears. And he stopped and he said, "What do you want?" Why do I keep seeing this in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament? It's amazing how many times the Lord said, "Ask what you will." What do you want? I don't know. Or I have 15 things. But what do you really want? What do you need? What do you want? They said that we might have our eyes open, that our eyes may be open. Lord, that you may open our eyes. And Jesus had compassion and touched them and opened their eyes. And they kept their healing. How do you know they kept their healing? Because they followed Jesus. Because they follow Jesus. Some people follow the miracle. Some people follow the blessing. Some people just follow until things get a little bit better and they get out of a jam. I see so many people. I remember an old Church of God preacher one time. He said, I know some people, if God doesn't kill them at the altar after they've been born again, they'll never make it. Because by the time they get to the back door, they're already headed the other direction. Now, isn't that, that's pitiful, isn't it? I mean, when Jesus loves us enough to forgive us of our sins and to help us, man, we need to just say, Lord, I know we don't change overnight, but our heart, you know, the spirit has changed. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Man, you need to become a life partner with Jesus. Praise God. He doesn't demand perfection, but he does request obedience and trusting him. They followed Jesus. Does it pay for a man to cry out, have mercy on me, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. Yes. Does it pay for two blind men to say, that I might receive my sight? Have mercy, son of David. Yes, it pays. Oh, there's others that we could bring to your attention, but Joshua is one of those. And then, of course, Acts the 27th chapter is another place. You know Paul had to shout to be heard among above the storm. You ever heard those hurricane news reports coming in, and you know the reporter's holding on to a palm tree? You know, it's really, of course, you see the same clip about 200 times. But anyway, I mean, he's holding on to that palm tree, and you hear all this wind blowing, and you see the same shack, and you see the same scenery. But you see, to be heard, you have to lift your voice. You say, do you have to be so noisy about it? Someone said, God's not deaf. Nobody doesn't have a nervous breakdown when you call on him loudly either. And I'll tell you, friend, when there's a tragedy in your life, when something's hurting, I've seen it over and over again, little calm, meek, so-called sophisticated people, they know how to get their mouth open when they need to and call for help and call for a miracle or call for whatever they need. And Paul on board that ship, in the midst of the storm, he said three things. I've heard from God. I believe what I've heard. And it shall come to pass. It shall be even as it was told me. I've heard from God. I believe what I've heard. And it shall be even as he told me. Well, you go back to Joshua the 6th chapter. Israel's shout was their way out. I said Israel's shout was their way out. See, when the devil comes on Monday and you've settled something on Sunday, you say, no way, I believe God. I couldn't tell you how many times I've shouted in my car. And a lot of other places too. I can think of a county road up in the mountains when things were so desperate in some of those early days of church. I was out there crying out to God, walking 5 miles. Oh, I yelled at, I was calling at the top of my, I mean, I was crying out to God. I said, God, we've got to have a miracle. We've got to have a, it wasn't an hour, lay me down to sleep prayer. And God heard it. Did I have to get loud? I don't know, but I did. I did. God's calling on some of us to get really in earnest about this prayer thing. I appreciate the little book that was given about 1858. They started noon prayer meetings. And they said that thousands of churches across New England, it all started in a third story room where someone declared that there'd be a prayer meeting. And just six people showed up or something, you know, just very pitiful showing. But from that, thousands of people across that eastern seaboard began to pray. It may look a little sparse right now, but it's coming back again. It's coming back again. Our nation needs prayer. And you might as well get ready for it. I'm not here to preach politics. Don't care to preach politics right now. But I'm telling you one thing. You better pray. You better pray for the leadership of this nation. You say, I don't agree with this and I don't agree with that. There's some things I don't agree with too. But I'm going to tell you what. You better open your mouth and you need to pray daily for the leadership of this nation, for wisdom and protection, and for divine intervention. Folks, listen to me. We don't realize where we were and where we could have been and where we still can go. We're not out of it yet. This nation's been drifting for a long time. We've been drifting for a long time. Listen to me. We're going to have to do more plain preaching on what sin is. Someone told me the other day, well, I've never heard you say that before. You're going to hear me say some other things. I don't like legalism, and I don't like some of that old stuff some of us came out of, but I'm going to tell you, sin's still sin. And you mess with it, and it'll bite you. And you mess with it, and it'll ruin your life. And you mess with it, you'll wind up in intensive care. And you mess with it, and you'll be dead before your time if you're not, except for the grace of God. I'm going to tell you, I am so sick of Hollywood. I am so sick of four-letter words. I am so sick of the perversion that you have to wade through. You can call that the arts if you want to. That's pure trash. It's hellish trash. Thank you. You'll not get my money to hear it. The pendulum's going to have to swing back to being prudish for a while. I mean, some people don't understand the grace of God is so wonderful, and it will always be the grace of God. But our young people need to know that sin is sin, and you don't mess with it. You don't play with it. You don't go to church and go off and do something wrong. You don't go to youth service and go out and do something. I mean, be sure your sin will find you out. That's still Bible. You mess with the wrong thing, and you don't cry out to God for mercy, and you don't get things changed. Be sure your sin will find you out. Sin, your sin, my sin, will find you out. I don't care whether you're a preacher, whether you're a lay person, whatever you claim to be. Sin will find you out. The hound of heaven will track you. The Holy Spirit of God in love will reveal the error of your ways so you can get things right with God. What is sin? Is anything sin anymore? Everything's an error. It's a bad judgment. It's hereditary. What is sin? Paul said, lest I, having preached to others, become a castaway. God help me to finish my race with joy and pursuing purity. Not seeing how close I can walk on the edge and still get by with whatever. So, Israel, 6 days say nothing. Seventh day, they shouted. One day there was a shout and you came out. Greg, one day there was a shout, buddy, and you came out. You could have died on the streets of Los Angeles, but there was a shout of God be merciful to me, a sinner, and God brought you out. Your shout will bring you out. Stop saying nothing good ever happens to me. If it weren't for bad luck, there'd be no luck at all. Why does everybody get blessed but me? Start thanking God things are as good as they are. Start thanking God that things are as good as they are and rejoice. 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 Thank God things are as good as they are. Thank God things are as good as they are.